We are in Psalm 73. We pick up our study in verse 15, going through Psalm 74, verse 23. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin reading. Look at verse 14. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. In verse 15 he says, if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. In other words, he may have felt like saying, what's the use trying to be pure? But he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say that because he would have been a traitor to God's people. We cannot give up on God as Christians. If we do, then how will that affect others who are struggling with their faith, or others who may be searching for truth? 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He won't give up on God. Still, he says, it's hard to explain and understand the success of those who hate God. 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Then one day I was spending time with God and was reminded about the future of those evil people. Verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. When he thought about the end of the wicked, he realized that they were on a very slippery path to hell. They will only go so far and only prosper for so long, and then God will send them off to eternal damnation. 19. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the writer of Psalm 73 tells us that all the happiness of the wicked will come to an end suddenly. An instantaneous end to their happiness, replaced by immediate and everlasting horror. Bang, like shifting from fifth into first, or from fifth into reverse. 20. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Their ungodly life, that doesn't seem to have any consequences, their life of ease and sin, is just a dream, the psalmist writes. They will wake up in hell like someone wakes up and realizes the good times they were experiencing was only a dream. 21. Thus my soul was grieved, and I was pricked in my heart. He had no joy. When he thought about the horrible end of the wicked, he was filled with grief. The wicked burning in hell bothered him more than the wicked prospering, it seems. 22. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. He says, God, I was so stupid. I must have seemed like a real fool to you, worrying about how good the wicked have it, and failing to remember that they are heartbeat out of hell. And yes, we must all look foolish to God, I would say, when we would envy the wicked. There's nothing to envy. 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast held me by my right hand. He says, God, I'm so stupid sometimes, but you still love me. You still hang on to me. We should be patient with those who do not catch on to things very fast. Because we are all that way to God at times. 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. In spite of all our mistakes and wrong ideas, God keeps patiently guiding us. He shows us things. Here and there, He gives us a little more wisdom. And then in the end, He welcomes us into His kingdom to be with Him in person. 25. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. He doesn't want anyone on earth as much as He wants God. He has come full circle, hasn't He? He began by envying the wicked. But after spending time with God and looking at the big picture, he realizes once again that having God is worth more than all the wealth that the wicked may enjoy for a season. 26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In contrast to the wicked who, when their health fails, it's all over, they have nothing. In contrast to that, those of us who know the Lord have God forever. God will bless us forever. When our health fails and it's all over, our good times will really just begin. 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all those who play the harlot, departing from thee. God destroys those who serve other gods. Someone says, well, I don't worship idols. Oh, I spend more time thinking about leisure, or sports, or work, or family, than I do God. Well, sure, I do that. But I don't have any idols. I just put my family before God, or my work before God. Listen, anything before God is an idol. 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. He says, I'm going to get as close to God as I can, and I'm going to stay there. I've chosen God, and not the ways of this world. I'm going to tell everybody that I have made that choice and that I don't regret it. And so, he is really encouraged after spending time with God. And that's what spending time with God will do for a person. Psalm 74. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? And there's only one reason that God gets angry, and that's sin. And the only reason he would cast anyone off forever is if they did not repent of that sin. 2. Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. He is asking God to remember how much he used to like them and what he went through to make them his people. In other words, do not throw away all that you have invested in us, God. 3. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. He asked God to walk through the city and see all the damage that the enemy has done. Of course, God doesn't have to do that. God is in every moment of time at the same time. He is everywhere at the same time. He was there in the city. He saw what the enemy did long before they did it. He knows. 4. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their banners for signs. The enemy erected their idols in God's holy place, I suppose to flaunt their victory. The writer wants God to see that as far as the enemy is concerned, their God beat Israel's God. He wants God to take Israel's defeat personally. verse 5. They seem like men who had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now, they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. It had been an honor for a lumberjack to cut down a tree to be used for God's temple. But things had changed. Attitudes had changed. The beautiful religious carvings which were in the wood of the temple were hacked to pieces. And it was considered an honor to do that. Verse 7. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. When the enemy took over, they were determined to wipe out all traces of God. They demolished all the places where God was worshipped. Well, if you want to control a population, then you must control them spiritually, because that is at the core of what they think and what they do. Verse 9, we see not our signs. There was nothing left in the land that would indicate Israel was God's people. The signs were all gone. All the holy distinctives which the Israelites had despised with their sin were now forcibly removed by the enemy. And they are no different than any of the people around them, which is exactly what they cried out to God for. We want to be like everybody else. Well, now they are. It says, we see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? The prophets are gone. The prophets had been despised by the people because the people had rejected God and His word. So now the prophets are gone. See, God gave Israel what they wanted. And now they realize they wanted the wrong thing. Verse 11. Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. God has the power to reverse things, to make everything better. So the writer cannot figure out why he does not do it. And I'm not going to guess, why God does not do what seems to be obvious to us. I'm not going to guess. Because that's where faith in God must kick in. 12. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. God is my King. He does not do everything I want, but He is still my King, is what the writer is saying. I don't always understand His way, but God is always right. Deep down, I know His way is best. 13. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou didst break the heads of the serpents in the waters. Israel loved to talk about the Red Sea miracle, I think, more than any other miracle. And it sounds like some sea creatures were caught off guard, and then they ended up dying on the dry sea bottom when God split it in two. 14. Thou didst break the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Leviathan conjured up thoughts of huge monsters in the minds of the people. Here it refers to Egypt. Figuratively speaking, it is Egypt. God crushed the head of the monster Egypt on behalf of His people Israel when He delivered them from slavery. 15. Thou didst break open the fountain and the flood. Thou drivest up the mighty rivers God commanded springs to break open in the middle of the desert, and he quenched the thirst of the entire nation until they reached the promised land. Then, when they arrived at the water of the Jordan River, remember, he dried it up so they could cross it. 16. The day is thine, and the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. God owns the daytime. God owns the nighttime. It is his sun. It is his stars. They are his stars. He lets us enjoy them. We enjoy the warm sunshine. We enjoy a starry night because God lets us. 17. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. God controls all nature. God does. I don't like the term Mother Nature. Mother Nature is a secular substitute for the real thing. It just confuses the issue. The real thing is God the Creator, not Mother Nature. 18. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. Since the enemy defeated Israel, they concluded that God was a weakling. The writer says, God, are you going to let sinners talk about you that way? Verse 19. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. He says, Lord, we are your people. And we, your people, are like a helpless dove. We don't ever hurt anyone. See, he's trying to get God to feel sorry for Israel. He knows that God is soft-hearted. 20. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Remember your promise. The promise was that if Israel was attacked and beaten by the enemy because of their sin against God, and that if they repented and confessed, God would rescue. And he's asking God to remember that promise. 21. Oh, let not the oppressed return to shame. Let the poor and the needy praise thy name. Don't let your beaten people continue to be kicked around. It's one thing to defeat a legitimate enemy. It is not acceptable at all to God to taunt that enemy once he is defeated. 22. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. God, stand up like a prosecuting attorney and bring your case against these bad people. And God will, because he is just. Sooner or later, he will. 23. Forget not the voice of thine enemies, the tumult of those who rise up against thee increaseth continually. The bad guys were cursing, taking God's name in vain. The writer is praying for God's honor as well as help for his people. You generally have a dynamite prayer when you have that combination. When you can pray for something that honors God, you have an effective prayer in the works. Next time, Psalm 75. Until then, so long, everyone.